Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Hi, this is Kevin Clark. Welcome back to America This Week. We're on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. If you want to join in the conversation here, we're talking to Dr. Phyllis Zagano about the Pope Francis's recent discussion or reference to starting a commission to study the possibility of women as deacons. The number to call to join the conversation is 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. Dr. Zagano, we seem to be circling back to an older tradition in order to find a new role for women. I'm just wondering, does this make sense, or are we just not being very creative in how we think about how people can be involved in the church in the leadership role?
The question of leadership is one that's fraught with potholes, because canon law restricts a lot of leadership positions to those who are ordained, and specifically to those who are ordained as priests. I'll give you one example. In order to be a cardinal, up in the new code of canon law in 1983, one must at least be a priest. Now, that's a merely ecclesiastical law. The Pope could change it with the stroke of a pen. And I think that's an example of why women in the diaconate would be of interest. People certainly don't join the diaconate for power or for even leadership. They're servant leaders. They serve the people of God. But if a woman were a deacon, she could be named as the head, more easily as the head of a dicastery. And the head of a dicastery, which would be one of the major staff offices in the Curia in Rome, the head of a dicastery is typically a cardinal. And we do have three ranks of cardinal. We have cardinal bishops, we have cardinal priests, we have cardinal deacons. So it just kind of makes things easier. The one analogy would be, look, in the military, you're either an officer or you're enlisted. And the way the church is organized, the officers are clerics. And the diaconate is the ordinary means of entering the clerical state, and the rights and duties of clerics, and also the responsibilities of clerics. We haven't even talked about the responsibility to prayer, but the responsibilities of clerics are given to deacons. And I just think it would be a helpful move in the church and make it easier for the Holy Father to appoint women, and make it easier for a bishop to appoint women, make it easier for a Episcopal conference to appoint women to certain offices in the church, which either require or imply the clerical state. Now, this is not to say that we need to clericalize the laity, which is really not what you want to do, but rather that you want to be able to have women have access to positions that they could do otherwise but can't because they're not clerics. An interesting example I would give would be a single judge in a marriage tribunal. The Holy Father gave the example the other day to the Union of International Superiors General. He gave the example that in early times the woman deacon would affirm to the bishop the results of spousal abuse, that she would examine the bruises on the woman and she would report to the bishop. Well, this is kind of an ancient marriage tribunal activity. Today, especially since December 8th, 2015, with the promulgation of the new document about annulments, you should only have a single judge for a marriage annulment case. And it says right there in the document, the single judge must be a cleric, and that cleric can be a deacon. So effectively, last December, the Holy Father put all women judges out of business, except in a disingenuous fashion. That is that a woman could look at the case and make the judgment, but she would have to get a cleric to sign it.
You know, I like you, Dr. Zagano, I welcomed this news last week. I find the evidence and the arguments rather compelling. But I did wonder about this question, because we're still stuck with the challenge of the reality that power and cleric are coupled in some way. And it seems to me that You know, that's something we're still going to have to address. I mean, there are a lot of positions in the church that require the person in it to be in the clerical state, but it doesn't seem to me to be a compelling theological reason for that. I think of, for example, a papal nuncio or the head of a dicastery or administrator of a parish. And I wonder how you think about that.
Well, you know, Cardinal Parolin, the Secretary of State, said of the Vatican, said not long ago, there's no reason a woman could not be a Secretary of State, except that the law is, or the tradition is, or the current practice is that the Secretary of State must be a cardinal. I think there are two things going on here. You know, when you, as I said earlier, you're either an officer of the corporation or you're not. That is not to say that people are not qualified to be nuncios, are not qualified to be secretaries of state. I will tell you that the two most recent deacon cardinals faced just that problem, or the church faced that just that problem. They found men whom they wanted to have those kinds of positions and needed to make them cardinals, and so they also made them deacons. It goes back and forth. You see, the Holy Father recently said, and I don't know if it was to the USIG, but he recently said, you know, there are many parishes that don't have economic affairs councils. They don't have pastoral councils. There are pastors who ignore the role of the laity in the church, and particularly the oversight role of the laity in the church. So when you get down to it, it's not so much, in terms of the role of the laity, it's not so much the rules of the church, it's rather whether the individual pastor will follow the rules of the church. In many places, they just don't. It's the pastor, it's my church, I do what I want. I know a pastor near me who has taken the names of the pastoral council out of the bulletin, who has canceled monthly pastoral council meetings, and I have no idea what he does with the financial council at all.
Unfortunately, you hear too many of those stories. So what does the road ahead look like? Are we talking about a process that, in your judgment, will it be months, years in the making? I mean, a lot of the research has already been done on this question.
Well, the research is done. I mean, it's just, I was at a conference, Father, in Canada a week and a half ago, and everybody there, really major scholars from the United States and Canada, were like, why are we talking about this even? You know, it's just done. The problem is the resistance of the episcopacy and clearly the resistance of the curia because, you know, between 1992 and 1997, the International Theological Commission actually prepared about an 18-page document that was positive about women deacons. And I'm told by a member of that commission that Cardinal Ratzinger refused to sign it. It was printed, it was numbered, and he refused to sign it, created a new subcommittee, put one of his graduate students at the head of the new subcommittee, and then after another 5 years, they came up with the 2002 document that, as I said earlier, said, well, you know, the decision is there's no decision. We need the discernment that the Lord has left his church to decide on this question. So I'm told, and I was told this 20 years ago by the highest placed woman in the Vatican, the problem is that they don't want to say yes, and they know they can't say no. So they keep leaving it. Any document you see, 1976, Inter Insigniores about women in the priesthood, specifically leaves a women in the diaconate aside. Any document about priesthood, it's specific. Women cannot be ordained priests. They do not say anything about the diaconate. So what I would see, I really don't think the discussion, the commission, is about whether women can be ordained as deacons. I think it's whether women should be ordained as deacons, and I think that's a real discernment that the church needs to make. And then it would be discerned at various levels. And as I said earlier, in Episcopal conferences, CLAM, USCCB, the others in Europe and Asia. And then it's up to each individual bishop to make the decision on whether, A, he wants deacons, and, B, whether he wants male and female deacons in his diocese. I mean, these are all serious matters that I think require discussion and conversation. But as my good friend Father James Martin once said when asked, what do you want from Francis? You know, he said, well, I want 10 more years. Well, that's not going to happen. And I think the Holy Father will act, and I hope he acts quickly. He's a Jesuit. He says, we have the information, let's make a decision straight up or down. Right. And whichever it is, the church lives by.
Sure. The book is called Women Deacons, Essays with Answers by Dr. Phyllis Zagano at Hofstra University. Dr. Zagano, thank you for being with us today. Thanks for your contributions to America over the years.
Well, thank you.
Okay, be well. When we come back, we will be discussing an upcoming conference on the thought of René Girard with James Allison and Duncan Morrow. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.